is Retro Bytes. My name is Byron Hopkins. Episode number 4 is here. Our topic today is Commodore Computer. A quick message from the sponsors of today's episode.
Podbot.ai.
Podbot.ai is an artificial intelligence-powered podcast maker, which lets you share your content with the world.
Let's face it.
Most people today have attention deficit disorder. All the Adderall in the world won't cause them to sit down and read your boring quote-unquote content. They may, however, choose to listen to your content while doing other things. For example,
while driving, working out at the gym, while running, or while sitting on the toilet.
So make your content easy to consume. Visit www.podbot.ai today. Okay, let's get to it. In the 1970s, Commodore made calculators and digital watches, but forgot to kill Texas Instruments and was killed by Texas Instruments. MOS senior engineer Chuck Peddle worked on the VIC-1001, which used the popular 8-bit processor. In 1977, Commodore launched the $600. In 1980, Commodore Japan introduced the Victoria 1001, and a $299, which appeared as quite successful machines. In 1984, Commodore released more computers, including the Commodore 16, which died out on the US market, and the high-end version, 4, whose name referred to 4 built office apps. IBM dominated the business at the end of the computer market, but flopped at the end of the consumer list, with only a small number of successful products. It offered a few technical improvements over the 64, including double RAM and an 80-column display, but it was essentially 3 machines in one. The C128 was introduced and sold in the USA as Commodore 128, Commodore's first 8-bit computer. It was an 8-bit computer at a time when 16 and 32-bit machines were on the way, and it sold for $1,000 less than the original Commodore 64. The Commodore 64 was perhaps the best known 8-bit computing platform ever developed, and only rivaled the Apple II in terms of popularity and longevity. In mid-1985, Commodore launched the Amiga 1000, a new platform that would carry the company through the remaining decades of its business. Compatible with all previous Commodore machines, it used the same processor, memory and graphics processing that was also used in the original 64, as well as the new Commodore 128. The Commodore 64 dominated the lower price market for computers and received a steady stream of software and peripheral support that lasted for over a decade. The Commodore 128, less known than the C64, followed Commodore with a technically superior machine that failed to convince the massive base of C64 fans and developers, but it was not without success. The company released its Amiga computer line in July 1985 and developed and marketed the best-selling desktop computer of all time, the Commodore 64. The company that would later become Commodore Business Machines Inc. was founded in 1958 in Toronto, Canada, by John Manfred Tramiel and his brother-in-law John Todman as the Commodore Portable Typewriter Company. While driving a taxi and running a small typewriter repair shop, he was living in Prague when he was able to sign a contract with a Czechoslovak company to manufacture their designs in Canada. Japanese company, history repeats itself when it started to produce machinery and export it to the United States, Canada and other countries of the world. Commodore managed to sell 17 million C64 computers worldwide and software developers and publishers released over 10,000 commercial programs. While the low price and subsequent popularity played a small role, it played a decisive role in the development of the computer game. Commodore not only entered a series of Silicon computers and consoles, but deleted and reviewed them. The first was the intended replacement of the VIC-20, which was nevertheless a Commodore computer containing mainly various peripherals. The reason for this similarity was actually quite pragmatic. To speed up production for the first run, Commodore stuffed all C64 components into his case. Commodore confused with the Commodore 4 the previous year, but soon adopted the same design as the original Commodore 64 and released a new version called Commodore 128. The 128 contained the CPM operating system, which ran on the same hardware as the original Commodore 64, but with a more powerful processor and a larger display. The 128, which was intended as a stopgap, improved the C64, which allowed a more powerful processor and a larger display than the original Commodore 64 as well as better graphics. Commodore initially positioned the system as a commercial machine and tried to isolate the machine from the consumer-oriented home computer market, for example by marketing it as an Amiga computer instead of Commodore's Amiga. Commodore released the A500, an updated and more powerful version of the C64, as well as an update of the Amiga model. The A500, which was launched in October 1987 for $699, had a built-in floppy drive and a 2.5-inch display with an 8-bit graphics card. The model became a popular game machine due to the sale of the competing Atari, although it never came close to the popularity of the C64 and is today positioned as one of the most successful home computer models of all time. Best known for the Commodore 64, a computer that sold millions, Commodore International was the first company to enter the personal computing market and the most sold single model in the history of the computer industry, as well as the first commercial computer in the world. This is all for today, guys. My name is Byron and I appreciate your attention. Please join me for the next episode of Retro Bytes and share this podcast with your friends if you enjoyed it. Thanks, bye-bye.